Now, I want to talk, really important question, really important words. I'm going to ask you if you have ever heard these words or a variation of them. Now, you can put your hands up if you have. Very important. Please do a U-turn as soon as it is safe to do so. Yeah, that's who's got sat-navs. Yeah, we can see the people with sat-navs. Please do a U-turn as soon as it is safe to do so. Now, U-turn is a phrase that for most of us is and has been associated with driving. Although, it seems nowadays to be more associated with politics, or more specifically, politicians. When is a U-turn good, and when isn't a U-turn good? Well, I remember once, this is a true story, some of you may have heard it, not long after I'd passed my driving test, I was driving out of York to head back home. There's a map. There's York. Now, I got a bit lost. I knew that I was looking for the A64. As you can see, the A64 heads down, bottom left-hand corner to the A1M. Get on the A1M. I knew that I could get home. I'll confess I couldn't quite find any signs to the A64 as I drove, getting increasingly lost as far as I was concerned, through the middle of York. And then I saw a sign. It's always good when you see a sign. I saw a sign and it had A64 on it, so off I went on the A64. Now this was long before sat-navs. Long before sat-navs. But I knew that something didn't seem quite right, but I couldn't put my finger on it until I saw a sign that said Scarborough, 18 miles. Now, that's the coast. I knew I didn't live by the coast. So I thought, this has gone wrong. Yeah, I had to do a U-turn. That's right, but that's not the point. The point is, that was the first and very valuable lesson I learned. Roads go in two directions. I did a U-turn, no shame in that, and I did get home. So a U-turn is good when we turn around because we realize or admit that we're heading the wrong way, that we're getting further from, not closer to, our destination. That is a good time to do a U-turn. Now, one of the things that our politicians and some newspapers seem not to have grasped is that some U-turns are good U-turns. They don't seem to have got that at all. Mind, we can just add that to a very long list of things they don't seem to have grasped. So, if you ever watch, this sounds really bad. If you ever watch the House of Commons on telly, and occasionally I do, if you ever watch it, it's been pretty good viewing recently, I can tell you. If you ever watch that. Now, if you're not sure what the House of Commons is, I can describe it briefly. It's that place where grown men and women seem to regress back to petulant teenagers and shouting and name-calling. That's often how it comes across. So we get a scenario where one politician stands up and admits that they're changing direction because a particular policy isn't going as they hoped or expected. And immediately, the opposition start yelling, U-turn, you've done a U-turn, as though that's a really bad thing and a sign of weakness or a mistake. Now, in our style of politics in this country, it's called adversarial. And in case you don't know what adversarial means, here's a description of what it means. Adversarial means something which is characterized by conflict and opposition. Well, that describes it perfectly for the most part. We might want to say it's possibly not the most positive or effective form, but that's what we've got. It seems in our form of politics, we seem to applaud the exploitation of weakness. So as soon as the opposition spots what they think is weakness, they're on their backs. And even when somebody has done a U-turn for good reason and admitted it, they still get called out as though they've done something wrong. It seems to me in my book, if you realize you're going in the wrong direction and you do a U-turn, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But that's not often how they see it. So maybe that's just me being naive. I think there are some U-turns which actually are a sign of wisdom, not weakness, and strength, not weakness. Some people seem to think, or perhaps don't think, but this is the effect, it's better carrying on with a poor choice than admitting we were wrong and changing direction. Is that stubbornness? Is that pride? I don't know. But did anybody see Prince Charles's 70th birthday celebration on telly called Amused and Amazed? Well, only a few of us. Good, this will be new to most of you. It was a mixture of sort of magicians and comedians. It was really very good. But Omid Jalili got it just right. Now, I have to explain. His subject matter happens to be Brexit. That is not why I've put it on. I am not making a political statement, because I think what he gets to is something that's deeper embedded in us as humans. He says in English people particularly, but in us as humans. And that's what I want us to concentrate on, not his particular subject matter.
That's it. That's it. I love the Britishness of Brexit. People say, Brexit means Brexit. We've made our decision. We're going to get over it. We're going to move on. I love the stubborn Britishness of that. We've made our decision. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. We've made our decision. It could be a disaster. We've made our decision. We could all die. We've made our decision. That we heard, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to do too many analogies, but it's a bit like going to a newsagent and asking for a Mars bar. And the newsagent gives you a Snickers bar. You think, oh, well, I'll eat the Snickers bar, despite the fact that I have a fatal nut allergy. But I've made my decision. I don't want to do too many analogies. I haven't got time for your applause. Too many analogies, but it's a bit like jumping out of a plane and your parachute doesn't open. You think, oh my God, I'm going to die. But then your instructor says, it's okay, you've got an emergency parachute, pull the string. No, I've made my decision. We hear of it and move on at terminal velocity. I don't want to do too many analogies about this, but it's a bit like watching the first 2 minutes of the Kardashians and then deciding to continue watching. Because I've made my decision.
There is definitely something about that in many of us, especially when it comes to the subject of U-turns and turning in a different direction. U-turns are good when we realize our choices or actions were wrong and we determine that we're going to do it differently from now on. That's a good U-turn. And some of us, that is the attitude. Nope, that's what I've decided, that's what I'm going to do. But why? That's what I've decided. There is a stubbornness, especially when it comes to some of the things of God and some of the ways we live. There is a stubbornness inside of us. U-turns are bad when we try to use them to, for instance, avoid responsibility. So we change our story to get ourselves out of trouble. It becomes a U-turn, becomes a bad one, because we're doing it to avoid a responsibility. By the way, that's also called lying. Or when you turn into a danger, so you're driving down that road in one particular part of the A64, it was there, no U-turns, because it's dangerous. A U-turn's not a good thing then. That can be a really bad thing. Or where we do a U-turn to turn away from what is right towards something that isn't. So there's good U-turns and there's bad U-turns. And I've noticed something in myself, and it's probably not restricted to me. Sometimes we seem not to like U-turns when they're the right thing to do, but we're rather quite fond of them when they're the wrong thing to do. In other words, when it suits us, we quite like them. But if it happens not to, then we don't. Now, Christmas. I'm coming back to U-turns. Christmas. It is and always has been all about the gifts. Always has been about the gifts. It is and always has been about giving and receiving gifts. But here's the thing. When it comes to gifts at Christmas, there has been a huge and earth-shattering U-turn. And we need to understand that. So we see that too many people are more concerned about receiving what they want or giving others what they want. And we can see this in the staggering amount of gifts and toys, depending on your age, gifts or toys, often the same types of gifts or toys, again and again and again, which end up either in a cupboard or still in the box or pushed into some storage space only a few short weeks after Christmas, rarely to be touched again in some cases. And we can find ourselves spoiled to death with things we convinced ourselves we wanted. Spoiled to death. But there was a Christmas when all the focus was on a gift that we desperately needed. And that's very different. And this is where the great Christmas U-turn happened, and not one of the good ones. A U-turn from what Christmas is all about. So on that first Christmas, God, our Father, our Creator, our Savior, focused on what he knew we needed. But we can so easily turn that around so that it becomes all about what we want. And that's so very different. And we can even disguise that very thinly as a celebration of the birth of Jesus. And what this leaves us with, rather ironically, is precious cupboard and garage space full to bursting with unused things that we thought we wanted. We've made our decision. However, those decisions can often leave a great, huge, empty space in our hearts. Empty and missing the thing we desperately need. Cluttered up by the things we thought we wanted. Have you ever had this feeling that somehow there's just some part of us just isn't right? Life isn't somehow right. I'm not the person I'd like to be. I'm not the person I hope to be. As though we're sort of in some areas just drifting around still, looking for the direction to go in without much real purpose, a bit like me on the A64. Certainly moving, not sure where though. Now, on that first Christmas, U-turns were the order of the day for some people. Let's read from Luke. We've heard about these shepherds already. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, be peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So here we have shepherds turning from the fields watching their sheep to the manger looking at their Savior. That was a turn. That was a turnaround for the shepherds. And then in Matthew chapter 2, we read of some wise men. How many there were, we don't know. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now there's some fellas who, we think they were fellas, magi, who were quite happily getting along in their country, in the east, just being wise or whatever magi do. And then they see a sign pointing them west. And so they head off, literally risking life and limb, to find this baby who was born to be king. That was a U-turn for those magi. From east to west, from security to danger, all to find the baby who was born to be king. And from that very first Christmas, and every single day since, God invites each of us to do a U-turn. Firstly, a U-turn from doing our own thing to doing Jesus' thing. That is the first and most important U-turn that he invites us to make. God is offering us the chance and the ability to redirect our lives, to make us whole, to make us complete, to transform us, to give us purpose, to give us meaning, to give us direction, and to give us joy through that U-turn. And he still offers that gift to anybody who listens and trusts and turns. And it's a major, major turn and change of life. It's so easy if you grow up in a church or you grow up in a religious background to somehow think we just sort of slide into this. But the Bible says this is a life-transforming event. I don't mind if you can't put a date and time on it, like it was Tuesday the 23rd of August, 19, whenever. But we do know that our life was and is being transformed because of that first U-turn we were invited to make. It was by God's invitation, and we say to God, sorry, I want to turn around. That's the first and crucial U-turn. We turn to Jesus, away from self. But as we go on our journey of following Jesus, because that's what a Christian is somebody who has set their heart and mind on following Jesus. It's not just somebody who prayed a prayer once in their life and went to the front. It's somebody who has set their heart and mind to follow Jesus. Some of us do it badly, some of us do it better, but we're all on the journey. As we're on that journey, Jesus will still point out areas where we need to make U-turns. We need to make that choice to turn from what we are, who we are, what we're doing, how we're thinking, to how Jesus wants us to live. The Bible calls that repentance. And it's a lifestyle choice for Christians. Repentance. It's where we admit we've been going in the wrong direction and we desire and intend to go in the right direction. That is not weakness. That is strength. That is wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I find I have to do this a lot, rather more than I'd like, about things I thought I was past. And maybe there's others of us in that situation. It's a lifestyle of repentance and growth and turning. And every time we do that, we experience his forgiveness, his joy, and his blessing afresh. Christina Rossetti wrote a Christmas song which said in the first line, love came down at Christmas. Christmas has given that love a name, Jesus. And we can ask for this life-transforming gift at any time by saying, Lord Jesus, I want to turn around. I want to go your way, not my way. And when we're on this journey, we can get back on that path any time we have stepped off it by saying, Lord Jesus, I want to turn around and get back in your way. Do you know what the early Christians were called? Long before they were ever called Christians, followers of the way. That's what they were called. Lord, I want to be a follower of the way. And we might want to, I certainly have had cause to this week, every week, to be honest, go before God and say, Holy Spirit, just point out to me where U-turns are needed. And Holy Spirit, give me the strength and the power and the grace to make them, to turn and to get back as a follower of the way in whichever particular area of our life God puts his finger on. So if you're not a Christian, if you've never made that first life-transforming U-turn, well, today's the day. Jesus, I am sorry for going my way. Help me turn round to go your way. And you're on a journey, and that's the Christian life. If we are Christians, then let's ask him to speak to our hearts and say, Lord, where are those areas where you are looking for me to do those U-turns that I might be a better, closer follower of the way? And what Jesus will do, guaranteed, because he's promised, he will complete and fulfill our lives, not simply waste space in our cupboards. Amen.